Finding your way in dark days. I have, used that title before. I'm going to put a little different twist on it tonight. I couldn't really think of a better way to describe it. But while you're turning there, a verse I don't have for you on the screen is found in Psalm 18. It says, "For thou wilt light my candle, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness." That's Psalm 18:28. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. Darkness is a time when we can't find our way. We don't really know which way to take. Direction is difficult. Sometimes fear is involved. We can be afraid of the dark because of the uncertainties that are there. In the way I'm using it tonight, when I talk about darkness, I'm talking about those moments in your life when you're just so overwhelmed that you feel hope slipping away from you. Your heart is losing hope. For whatever your situation is, you may have learned that you have a problem physically that's inoperable. It may be a financial difficulty. It could be a problem with the job or at home or in any circumstance of life, but it's a problem, it's a difficulty, and the problem is exacerbated because there's darkness around you. You don't know what to do. That makes it more complicated. How do we find our way in the dark days? It stays dark long enough and we start losing some hope because clearly we're losing direction. We've tried all that we know to do, but nothing appears to be working. Dark days. What I want to do tonight is look at our Lord, who is a pattern. He responds perfectly in every situation, but it might help you to understand, to know that Jesus himself, by his own submission to his Father's will, endured some very dark days. And before I show you what he did in response to those dark days, I want to lean in, look close at those dark day experiences that he experienced in the Garden of Gethsemane. Certainly that was a dark time for our Lord. And we want to look close at that and see the different things that happened to Jesus in those moments. And then in just a few moments, I'm going to show you how he responded in those times. First of all, in Mark chapter 14, verse 33, the word of the Lord says this. Number one, dark days caused Jesus to feel fear. Jesus felt fear in dark days, the reality of dark days. Jesus felt fear. Look at Mark 14 and verse 33. The word of God says, "And he taketh with him Peter, James, and John, and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy." The reality of dark days is that even Jesus endured them, and fear was involved. Now, we don't like to think about Jesus as ever experiencing fear, but certainly here he did. Now you understand that Jesus, of course, we're talking about the humanity of Christ. And he is subjected to this horror in the garden and he feels fear. For example, in the Amplified text, that same verse is translated this way, "and began to be struck with terror and amazement." The heaviness that came on Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane, and you remember that's when he prays that prayer, "If it's possible, Lord, let this cup pass from me." That's the experience I'm talking about. And so what was taking place there creates this terror and amazement. One translation says that his heart was filled with horror. And so Jesus experiences something in this moment where his heart is gripped with extraordinary fear. Now, do you know the most repeated command in the entire Bible is fear not? That is the most repeated command in the entire Bible. Fear not. But many of us are naturally inclined to become fearful when we can't find our way, when we don't know what to do. You can call it anxiety, you can call it stress, you can call it worry, but fear is involved. Jesus knows about fear. You know, the Bible says he was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. So now our Lord is assaulted in the garden by the enemy of our souls and his, and he experiences fear. The second thing that you notice, the reality of dark days, Jesus felt fear. Jesus felt sadness. Dark days caused Jesus to feel sadness. Look again in verse 34 and again the Amplified text. And began to be struck with terror and amazement, deeply troubled and depressed. Now the King James, I think, says his soul was exceedingly sorrowful in one place. Okay, yeah, there it is. Exceedingly sorrowful. And the Amplified says that he's deeply troubled and depressed. Just profound sadness seeps into the soul of our Lord in his Gethsemane moment. Now, this is extraordinary when you think about it. He's the light of the world. He's the creator of everything. But he has taken on our humanity and entered into our situation and allowed himself to be subjected to all of this emotional trauma. And he experiences our fears. He experiences depression or some sadness, or he's certainly drawn towards it. Now, the Hebrew writer tells us in Hebrews 5:7, I don't know if I have this verse, but it says, yeah, there it is. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications, and certainly he did this in the garden, he did it to such degree that he began to sweat great drops of blood that were falling on the ground. Who in the days of his flesh, when he offered up prayers and supplications with strong cryings and tears, unto him that is able to save him from death, in that he feared, with strong cryings and tears. Jesus, in the Garden of Gethsemane, is praying to his Father, and it is such an extraordinary experience. He prays that prayer, Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. But what's going on that we can't even imagine is that fear that's gripping him and the sadness that he's being drawn into. I believe he is simply feeling the weight of our sadness and our sorrows and our sins. It's all being laid on Jesus. And so Jesus feels sadness. He feels fear. There's a third thing that takes place, and that he feels dread. Notice verse 35. He went forward a little and he fell on the ground. Now, he didn't kneel down, he fell down. Again, this is symbolic of the weight that's on our Lord, the heaviness that's on his soul. Remember now, he is with strong crying, and he is with many tears, and he is gripped with some fear, and he's feeling this profound cloak of sadness just kind of envelop his soul. And he prayed that if it were possible that the hour might pass from him. That's dread. He goes a step further and he says, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. Now, you might be asking yourself, was Jesus not wanting to die? Jesus was willing to die. And he says of his own accord that no man takes my life from me. I lay it down. But Jesus, I believe, shuddered at the reality of becoming sin for us. The Bible said that he that knew no sin became sin for us so that we could be made the righteousness of God in him. He is so pure and he is so holy. But to imagine that my sins and your sins would be laid upon his innocent body, and his innocent blood would be shed for all of our transgressions, that his own father would have to smite him, bruise him, wound him. That's what the Bible said, that it pleased the Lord to bruise him. The Father laid on Jesus the sin of us all, and then he laid on Jesus the judgment for all of our transgressions. And then in the midst of this agony, the Father turns away from his sons and leaves him there in darkness to die. So much was the agony that Jesus cries like a sinner cries. He's not a sinner, but he cries like a sinner cries, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And so Jesus, knowing full well that the hour is coming, the thought of being made sin for us, fear, depression, dread, fill his soul, darkness. A fourth thing that happens here is loneliness. Loneliness. Now, this is perhaps from a practical standpoint something that you and I can relate to. And that's verse 37. He says, and he cometh and he find them sleeping. Who? Remember, he took his three best friends, Peter, James, and John. And he asks them, or he says to them, I need you to watch with me and pray with me 1 hour. But every time he returns, they're sleeping. They're completely disconnected from the trauma and the heartache and the difficulty that he's experiencing. Three different times he comes. He cometh and findeth them sleeping and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest thou not watch 1 hour? When he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Neither wist they what to answer him. And this went on three different times. And so finally he says to them, "You just 1 hour?" And their mouths are stopped. Yes, their spirit is willing, and they tell him, but my flesh is weak. And then at some point they have no more answers. They cannot make any more excuses. They're just not up to the challenge. They could not share this burden with Christ. Can you imagine the loneliness that felt? He's fixing to die for them. He's dying in their place. He's asking for their prayers. They are his three best friends on this earth. But in his moment of agony, in his darkest trial, they can't support him. They can't be with him. They're not involved. And it must have looked as if they didn't care. I'm not going to say that they didn't care. I'm just going to say that they, in all probability, were under their own kind of attack. They're just, their eyes are heavy in their sleep. And of course, you know, Satan's involved. And let me ask you something. What happens to you when you start to pray for a protracted period of time? When's the last time you prayed for a solid hour? And Jesus said, watch and pray with me for 1 hour. And so it's difficult, but the loneliness. And so that's hard. And number five, the reality of dark days is that sometimes even the best feel fear. We feel dread. We feel loneliness. We feel depression. If you feel any of those things, it doesn't mean that God's abandoned you. It doesn't mean that you're not a believer. That is the reality of dark days. Those things do happen. Our Lord experienced them. That's my point. And then the fifth thing Jesus experiences in darkness, betrayal. He feels betrayal. He says on down in verse 42, he tells his friends, he says, rise up and let us go. He that betrayeth me is at hand. That's just what you need in a moment like this, isn't it? When you have fought through fear and depression and dread and loneliness, now there's betrayal. And immediately while he yet spake, here comes Judas, one of the 12. And you know, it puts that in there to say that this is one of the one of the confidants, one of the colleagues, one of the people that had walked and talked with him and supposedly worshiped and been involved in ministry with him, one of the 12 is leading the charge in terms of betrayal. And that's what makes dark days so difficult, is when people that you're close to betray you. We expect the world to talk about us, to hurt us, to forsake us, to betray us. That's absolutely accepted and expected. But when those that are a part of your community, a part of your family, so to speak, when betrayal is there, the pain is much different. You know, there's a verse in the Old Testament, I think it's in Amos, but I'm not positive about that. It says there's a time coming when our people in our own household will be our enemies. And what he's talking about is the breakdown of the family, and sometimes even family members are pitted against one another. And I see it all the time, you know, where people will... perhaps sometimes it's at a time of a death, you know, when you find out just how little love there is in the family, when people begin to squabble over certain things, mostly material things, and people get on odds with each other and terrible things are said, and they're created kinds of distances in people's lives that are just, you would have never dreamed that it would have happened otherwise. But the real love, or the lack thereof, is exposed sometimes in difficult times. So my point is simply this. If we're going to learn to find our way during dark days, the first thing you have to understand is that nothing peculiar has happened to you because you've had some dark days. The reality of dark days is simply this. Believers do have them. People that love God do experience them. Our Lord, for example, did experience them. He experienced fear. He experienced sadness. He experienced dread. He experienced loneliness. He experienced betrayal. All of these things create dark moments in our life that fill our soul with a lot of agony, and we don't really know which way to go or what to do. But what I love about this passage is not only that it enlightens me to what happened, or how that dark days can happen, and kind of they just come out of the blue sometimes. That's what's amazing. I mean, Jesus is doing ministry and all, and now he has this Gethsemane moment. And as a matter of fact, there is a verse in the book of Mark where Mark says the wild beasts were there. You know, and I think that's a reference to the way he, it felt like his soul was being surrounded by things that we can't really see. And I don't mean literal beasts, but for example, you remember Psalms 22, if you look close at it sometimes, where Jesus, you know, it's a prophetic psalm about when Jesus prays, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Go back sometime and read that psalm, and you'll find out there are four different animals that are mentioned in that psalm. He talks about the bulls of Bashan circling around him. He screams that he'd be delivered from the horns of the unicorn. And there are four different animals that he mentions there in Psalm 22. And then Mark says over here, the wild beasts were there. And I think that this is just a picture of just how horrifying this moment was for our Lord. And so, sometimes you may be just going along and all of a sudden you may find yourself covered in darkness, gripped with an undefined fear, deeply saddened because of loneliness, or gripped in the pain of betrayal. It doesn't mean that God has forsaken you. There is the reality of dark days. But I said I wanted to talk to you about what you can do in dark days, or how to find your way during dark days. What did Jesus do when he was experiencing these dark days, these moments. And I just got two or three things to show you, but I believe they work. Number one, even though it's hard to do in these moments, we need to pray. Prayer. That is a time when you need to call upon God and say, "Help me, Lord." Jesus prays in this moment. Mark 14:2. "Sit here while I go and pray." You know, there's an old writer that one time, he said, "We know the utility of prayer. By the enemy of our soul, he put so much effort to distract us from the sacred office." Something like that. And that's true. There's nothing that perhaps he attacks more than those moments when we want to try to pray. "Sit here while I go and pray." The first thing he says, or the first thing Jesus did, is he prayed. When you're experiencing those things, you can say to the Lord, "Help me." And here's what's wonderful about the Lord. The Bible said that we have a high priest that's passed into the heavens, and he can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities because he was in all points tempted like we are. In other words, when I say to him, "Lord, I'm feeling that loneliness," I felt loneliness. "I'm feeling fear," I felt fear. "I'm feeling sadness," I felt sadness. "I'm feeling betrayal," I felt betrayal. All points like you are, Jesus can relate to that, and he can be touched with the feeling of your infirmities. So prayer is a powerful tool. The second thing we need in moments like this, looking at our Lord, we need people around us. Sometimes that's the last thing you want when it's dark like this. But the word says in verse 3, he took Peter, James, and John with him. Jesus was fully aware of what he was walking into. And know, as I have mentioned, these people were not up to the task, but Jesus understood this, I have no doubt. He knew they were weak, they were frail, but he wanted them there. He wanted to know that they were there. There's something about having people around you when your heart is hurting. It really does help. I've had people say to me at a time when maybe they lost a loved one, they said, "You know, Frank, I never would believe or never did really understand just how much it helped when people just came and they were there. Even if they just brought some food or spent a little time or just showed some concern, it was a great help." Do you know someone that's going through dark days? People need the Lord, and people need each other. There's a third and final thing that I think happens here, and we need perspective. We need perspective. What do I mean? Well, verse 36 says this. Jesus prays this prayer, "Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thy will, but what thou wilt." In other words, Lord, I want to keep perspective right. You know, there's always more to the story than the story. And even in dark days, God has not abandoned you. And so your prayers that you pray to God, we can't ever stop praying that his will would be done. You know, the Bible teaches us that we're supposed to live by faith. And we also learn that our trials and our heartaches and our difficulties are the things that create more faith in our life when we apply his word. But here's what I fear. I fear a lot of us learn words in the Bible, but we don't have any idea what they mean. For example, I read about a little boy was starting to school. And he wanted to impress the teacher, and his parents were there, and they carried him there that morning, and they wanted him to tell the teacher the things that he already knew. "Tell the teacher what 2 times 2 is." And the little fellow says, 4. And mom and dad smiled like, look at our little genius. Tell him what 2 times 3 is. He says, 6. And oh, they were even more proud. Finally, the little boy looks up and says to his mom and dad, and really embarrasses them, said, Mom, what's a 2? He's only repeating what he's heard, you know, but he doesn't really understand what he's saying. We hear about faith. Yeah, I've got faith. We sing about faith, but we don't really know what it is until we go into dark days. We find out if we have any or not. You see? And we know how to say it, but doing it is another thing. And so the Bible teaches us that the just, they're going to live by their faith one way or another. And trials sometimes create the kind of patience in our life that gives us faith. So my message to you tonight is this. If you're going through dark days, whatever they are and whatever the origin of them are, I can promise you this. You're not alone. First of all, the Lord sees you and He fully understands you. You're not experiencing any emotional pain that Jesus has not experienced 100 times over. And He'll share His strength with you. He'll help you with it. The reality of dark days is that we all experience them on some level. Jesus teaches us that. The reaction to those days perhaps is different for all of us. But I suggest you pray. Get some people in your life that you trust and don't shut them out. If you can trust them and believe in them and they are your friends, primarily keep the right perspective. And the right perspective is that the will of God will be accomplished if we submit to His will, even though we don't understand what's going on. He will enlighten your darkness. The Bible said, in His time. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank You for Your word, for the clarity that's found there, for the relevancy to our everyday life. I pray for each person here. Lord, we've all experienced it sometime or another, on some level or another, dark days. For that person that it may be experiencing them now, I pray You would encourage them with Your word and help them to understand that when their pastor can't understand and their best friend can't understand and their spouse can't understand or their children or their parents can't understand, You can fully understand their sorrow and You are ready to help them in their time of need. Give them the courage and the faith and the strength to cast that care on You. In Christ's name, I pray. Amen.